Our scripture reading this evening is Psalm 103. We read God's Word as we find it in Psalm 103 that can be found on page 587 in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 103, let us listen to this word the Lord speaks to us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies with my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly host, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let me read again the first five verses, which will be our focus. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit, crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of His word this evening. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, when you come to the end of another year, and if you're my age, they fly back. It's so quick, it's like the train going across the tracks. Boom, 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 one car after the other. I said to one of the elders when I was a child in school, it was interminable. 9 months, 10 months of school, now it's gone. And when you come to a time like this, I think for God's people, it's a particularly important time to consecrate, to sanctify, not to go to a party and drink too much and eat too much and get not enough sleep so you have to recover on New Year's Day. It's a time of reflection, and that's what I would like us to do this evening through the words and the call of Psalm 103. One of the things, maybe that's what will happen Tuesday evening, I don't know, I haven't talked to Dr. Beach. But when you come to the last Sunday in a year, it's a time to look backward and remember. Notice the psalmist says, forget not all His benefits. You know, of course, that people do a variety of things. I've mentioned one already that is customary. But people remember the year that is past in a diversity of ways. But God's people have a distinctive style when it comes to our remembering. I noticed on the news that if you're into Hollywood celebrities, and let's not kid ourselves, there's a bit of idolatry in our culture. Why would an actor or an actress's opinion about virtually anything be that significant? Well, they remember the year distinctively by telling us which actresses and actors or comedians died last year and lament their passing. Now, there are some sports aficionados who make an idol. My wife told me to say this because she doesn't like all those football games on the TV droning on and on in the background. But there are some people who take the measure, have a retrospect regarding the past year. Once again, it was the bad news bears. They disappointed our hopes. And I have nothing against, as a matter of fact, I share with Reverend John Pierce an enthusiasm for the game. I'll just let that be known. I think that's acceptable. But if you take the measure and remember the year in that respect, in that style, it's lamentable, it's disappointing. Some people take the measure because their God is mammon by asking themselves, was it a, quote, good year? By which they mean more money in the bank, portfolio is growing, things are going swimmingly, I've got things in hand. A rabbit, to quote the title of one of John Updike's novels, rabbit is rich, and he's sitting like the fool in his armchair thinking about all the ways he's going to make merry and use his money for his good. Now, if you're into politics, that's your style, and you make an idol out of politics. One of the best books I ever read in my life had the lovely title, The Political Illusion. Put no trust in princes. I don't care from which party they come. Politics, depending on your politics, and I'm not going to go into it, I said it can be an illusion. You might take the measure of the past year by the political turmoil in our country, but not so with God's people. By the way, I remember reading once a lovely quip from G.K. Chesterton who said, imagine you're an atheist and you're feeling very good about life and you have this sense of thankfulness and gratitude, but you have a dilemma. No one to thank. For you say and profess there is no God. Well, not so for God's covenant people who belong to God through Christ, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, are indwelt of His Spirit. They remember in distinctive covenant fashion. And the psalmist is showing us how it's to be done. He's giving thanks in what might be called covenant style, the way with God's people as they reflect upon the year and the good things the Lord has done for them. The first thing to notice, there are three things actually to notice in this passage. Notice first the focus of the psalmist's remembrance. What does he zero in on? Then notice, secondly, the shape of his giving thanks. For what does he give thanks? And then thirdly, notice how he calls himself to do it. Remember with gratitude the good benefits, the good blessings come to him by the hand of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the focus. Notice verse 1. I like the older translation. It gets it more directly. The word isn't praise. It's a more direct word. It's the word bless. Even as I have been blessed, I bless God in turn. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Bless His holy name. Now, there's something very significant there. What is the focus of the psalmist's vision? It's upon the Lord, and in particular upon His name. Now, the name of the Lord is who the Lord is, as He's made Himself known to His people. In fact, a little bit later in the psalm, there are those beautiful words beginning at verse 7 that allude to Exodus 33. You remember the story when Moses said, "If I'm going to go to Pharaoh and in your name speak the word, let my people go out of their captivity, in whose name am I to come before Pharaoh? Make your name known to me, O Lord." And then the Lord said to Moses something like the psalmist's words in verses 8 and 9. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love." That's who He is. He delights and reveals His being the God He is by His mercies, by His great love with which He loves us, by the blessings that He showers upon us for Christ's sake. You see, when you thumb through the album of this year of our Lord, 2019, the focus of your attention should be upon those things that most especially and peculiarly are just like God, that He should have done that. You know, one of the things I'm going to have to do in retirement, my wife and I are fearing it, we may have to prolong working at the seminary a bit longer so as to avoid it, is to go through some 10,000 slides. Now, for you children, slides are a very old-fashioned technology in terms of the preservation of pictures, but they're like records. They last a long time. I've got slides from the 40s that I inherited from my father. But here's the thing. We've got to go through these because we don't want to throw them all away. But guess what? 95% of them are in the round file. Pictures of mountains and of rivers and of people we know not whom, and a lot of traveling in the Venom of family through the years. What are we looking for? Marriage pictures. Little baby Rachel when she's first home and in her mother's arms. The children out in the backyard playing with their friends. What counts, the thing that captivates our attention, are the good memories of those important to us. And they're not things. They're people. They're dear friends. They're loved ones. And it conjures up in your mind all kinds of remembrances of how the Lord has blessed us and been gracious to us. You see, Spurgeon, he's always good for a quote, says something very interesting about memory, remembering. He says this, "Memory is very treacherous, dangerous about the best things, the good things, to which the psalmist wants to direct our attention. By a strange perversity born out of our fall into sin, we treasure up the refuse of the past often, and we permit priceless treasures to lie neglected. We're tenacious. We won't let go grievances sometimes, but we hold good benefits all too loosely." He's reminding us as the psalmist. And notice this is a soliloquy. That's a fancy word for saying he's talking to himself. He says to self, "You self,
Bless the Lord. Don't allow yourself to forget His benefits, which is just a word meaning the good things that display His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His love toward you and me. Speaks very personally. It's the singular form of the pronoun, my sins, my diseases, my desires. What I'm saying to you is that when the Christian, instructed by the psalmist in Psalm 103, takes the measure looking backward, a retrospect of thankful remembrance, they zero in on the most priceless things that must not be forgotten. Now that brings me to the second thing, and it's this. What are those things? What shape does the psalmist say are the things that he calls to remembrance as he forgets not all, according to the Lord's name, in character, actions, benefits that he's been given? He recites, and let me recite them with you. He forgives all my sins. Why is that the first? Because it has everything to do with where do I stand in relationship to the living God? How does He view me? What does He see when He sees me? How does He regard me? Well, He's the God of all forgiving grace. He forgives all my sins. Now, there's an old definition of sin in the Shorter Catechism. Sin is any want, an old English way, a lovely way, better than lack, a want of conformity unto God's holy law. Are there not a few remembrances of failures on your part, lack on your part of perfect conformity to the law of God? You've loved Him, have you? All the way through, 365 days, 24/7, with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sought first His kingdom and its righteousness. Delighted in His presence, to come to church, to worship Him, to sing His praise, to hear His word. Oh, I can't think of anything I'd rather do on Sunday evening than that. Now, that's not you. It's not me. While we're making confession of our sins, one of the delightful things one of my colleagues told us about the little children. He's a young colleague. Little children. He says, they're so honest. Do we have to go to church? Yeah, you have to go to church. They just say what we pretend not to be thinking. Well, I could rehearse not a few lacks of conformity. Have you loved your neighbors with the same kind of attentiveness and care with which you love yourself? And maybe that little circle of the few close family members and friends went out of your way, spent and were spent in serving their needs, never missing an opportunity to, at expense to your own convenience, to do for them what would be a blessed thing. Pay them a visit in the hospital, call upon them in the nursing home, bring them a meal. Pray with them, share a word of joyful encouragement with them. Well, you know, of course, pastors are good at that. We can identify not a few sins, great as well as small, sins of omission and of commission, the sins of thought, of word, and of deed. And yet, thanks be to God, your and my slate, through faith in Christ, worked by the Spirit, places us tonight in a position where the psalmist can say, He's never failed. Whenever I've confessed a sin, of standing ready to receive me warmly and gladly and welcome me home, even if I was a great, big, prodigal son or daughter. He celebrates it so beautifully throughout this passage. He doesn't always accuse. He's not quick to anger. He's slow to anger. He's not parsimonious and Scrooge-like in his love toward us, but abounding, overflowing fountain of good. He doesn't treat me, us, as our sins deserve. Has never repaid me because of the blood of His own Son given for me for my sins. And even tests the children's understanding of how high the heavens are above the earth. How high is that? Well, you can't take the measure of it. It can't be found out. So great. Paul says it's unknowable, inexpressible, His love for those who fear Him. And here again, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You see, if you focus in remembering the year that is past, you don't fall prey to what Spurgeon calls the treachery of remembering the bad things, absent a remembrance of God's forgiving grace. And maybe even tonight, or before this year is out, you might want to go before the Lord in prayer and seek His forgiveness for something that you may remember, but ask Him to blot it out as in a thick cloud, to cast it into the depths of the sea, to remove it as far as east is from west, to see me as altogether lovely in Christ, to stand at the end of the year knowing that in Christ all of my sins have been taken away is an inestimable joy for God's people. But notice He also says, heals all my diseases. And you say, well, I'm sick. I have a disease. Some among us do. But He's kept us in life. Many of us have suffered in a variety of ways, from great maladies as well as seasonal illnesses. The God who gave us life has sustained us in life and preserved us to this point. And He not only has healed all our diseases, He will heal. You see, forgiveness is past, present, and future. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And whatever healing God may grant us and restoration of health and strength in this life is but a penultimate signal token of what He will do for us in Christ, who by His stripes heals all our diseases and promises us victory over sin and death. An inheritance that includes an incorruptible body. It's not accidental that He quickly, upon saying, heals all my diseases, says He redeems me, rescues me at great cost. He redeems my life from the pit, from Sheol, from death. You know, one of the things that most people can get right at the end of another year is they're going to die. They don't want to talk about it. I don't know who it was who said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. And I don't want to talk about it. But it loudly proclaims to us that while we are in this mortal body, the healing of our diseases will never be complete and perfect as it will be when we come to share in the fullness of the victory which is ours in Christ, the resurrection and the life. That the psalmist could say this, you can say it so much fuller and more energetically than he could possibly have said it, having not yet seen the Christ risen from the dead and able to sing as the church sings, O death, where is your victory? Now, you'll permit me a personal word. My mother-in-law, Nancy's mother, and my mother too, died just a few days before Thanksgiving in this year of our Lord. The last time I visited her, I had a precious conversation with her. Started out on a trivial note. I said to her, maybe it wasn't trivial, I want to thank you that you allowed your daughter to go with me. Now, if you knew me back in those days and what I looked like, you would not, as a mother, have perhaps permitted it to your daughter that you should go with such a fellow. And she gave me this sort of crooked smile. I think it was an approval. And then I went on to say, I said, Mom, you are as good as my mother. I have two mothers, both great. Now, it took her 97th year of life, 45 years into marriage to her daughter, for me to tell her that. Shame on me. And then I said, are you okay? She said, Cornell, I am not afraid. Now I'm impatient, she says. It's taking a long time. I've been praying that the Lord would call me home. I said, it's in the Lord's time, Mom. And I said, we have that in common. I'm impatient too. But the most precious words that the Lord gave her to speak were, but I'm not afraid. And I said, thanks be to God. You've read the psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My cup overflows. And you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What more wonderful remembrance, joyful occasion for thanksgiving for the children of God at the end of another year, then not forgetting the Lord's benefit, celebrating the forgiveness of their sins, the redemption of their life from the pit, from Sheol, death. Death no longer is the stronger. Goes on, he says, he, that is the Lord, satisfies my desires with good things. And what better things could possibly be given to any man or woman fallen in Adam than the things of God's kingdom. Kingdom blessings. To be sons and daughters in God's house. To have a Father in heaven, indwelt of the Spirit, whereby we cry out to Him, Abba, Father. The confidence that He's reconciled to us and we to Him. And that all of His promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. You have a goodly inheritance in the Lord to celebrate and to remember with thanksgiving. These are blessings yesterday, today, and also tomorrow. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, this is the interesting thing about God's people. Like all mortal flesh, this body, this earthly tent, will be dissolved. But we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens. Just before those words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, though outwardly we are wasting away, we can feel it in our bones. They literally creak when we go down the stairs in the morning. But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Because we are indwelt of the life-giving Spirit of Christ, who has been given to us and, as our Lord promises us, will abide with us forever. And He needs a house in which to live, to dwell, that is better than this house. And any mansion on the north side of Chicago or in the Hamptons, pathetic little huts compared to our earth heavenly home. My Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You see, all of these too familiar, but ultimately priceless treasures. These benefits that the psalm is focusing upon the Lord and the good things that He has done for him calls to your and my attention. Think about these things, meditate upon these things, anchor your life in these verities. Old-fashioned way of saying things that are true through and through. More real than this wooden desk called a pulpit. Faith looks upon the things that are unseen, that are eternal, that endure, that are new every morning, as are God's mercies. But now one last thing. How do I go about this? He says to himself, bless the Lord. Now, back to that word. Paul says it in the New Testament this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Notice, it's a strange way of speaking. I think the NIV translators thought, well, we should say praise, because God blesses us, we don't bless God. Well, you see, there's a reciprocity, there's a symmetry, there's a God acting and our echoing. So even as God has blessed us, from within us there arises the desire to bless His name, to bless God. That's what worship does, first and foremost. That's its primary interest. Not to bless us, we're blessed by blessing the God of our salvation. And it's no accident that the psalmist says, well, you can't do that half-heartedly. You can't do that with your mind elsewhere. You can't do that the way you sometimes listen to your wife. It looks like you're listening, but you're actually doing something else, thinking about something else. He says it this way, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All that is within me. I don't think it was an accident that Handel, when he wrote the great Messiah, in haste, has that grand, glorious hallelujah chorus. And the music itself is what the psalmist is talking about here. What you might write in the margin of the music as it's written, the lyric, the song of God's people in praising His name, not forte, strong, energetic, but triple forte. Or perhaps if you prefer, fortissimo. With the greatest of strength, I will bless your name, O Lord, for the things that you've done for me. That's why we have in our songs things like wholehearted praise. Not heartless, listless, indifferent, going through the motions, it's my duty. I guess I have to. But when the Spirit gets a hold of you, as the Spirit took hold of the psalmist, you say to yourself, I've got to give it all I've got. I've got to give of the best to the God who has so blessed me. A little meager offering, a trifling blessing of His name, that won't do. That's not our style. That's not the way God's people do it. I don't mean you have to sing too loudly so the next person beside you can't hear their own voice. Don't misunderstand me. We all sing in our own way and make beautiful melody together as best as we can with the voice the Lord has given. But you get the point. That's how it's to be done. May we join the psalmist and all God's people through the centuries in saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. With all that is within me, bless the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us not to forget, but to call to remembrance all of the ways you have acted toward us in Christ Jesus again during this year, that we would not forget your benefits, but with our entire being, give ourselves in turn to blessing and praising your great and majestic name. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.